Is my gone? Episode 94. What's wrong with Orny Adams? I'm going to start with something very controversial. Moving forward, I will only eat a croissant as is. I will no longer be putting marmalade, jam, fructose, corn syrup. The croissant must be respected. I had a lot of croissants on my last trip, and I've decided as is. Why do I want blueberries disturbing the delicate balance and crunch of the croissant and that buttery burst of butter? Well, I have here not a croissant, but this is dough gold in Los Angeles. These are genuine Wawa Philadelphia style pretzels that I have smuggled out to the Gold Coast of Los Angeles. And I'll tell you why. I've got a story about pretzels and about what I ate on the road coming up when I was broke. I could have lived off of these. In fact, I did live off of these. I used to take trips to New York and I'd eat pretzels off the street. Not off the street, but there was a guy on the street selling them and I would buy them. They were like a dollar each. $2, you had a meal. My other meal, well, I should start the episode. Episode 94. What's wrong with Orny Adams? And I'll tell you, my Wi-Fi is out again. This is Mark Mann. The theme of the podcast, What's Wrong with Orny Adams? Little friend. Oh, there's so much to talk about. I'm fired up. So many things. Welcome back, everybody. I'm bringing this down. I have no idea how I'm going to get this audio to Ernesto today. My Wi-Fi is out again. Thank you, Los Angeles. And I don't know if this happens. In fact, I know this happens in other parts of the country, but people are stealing the copper wires that the cable company puts up for our broadband or a high-speed internet. They're stealing it. So the last time this happened in my neighborhood, it took a week. I woke up this morning. I have no TV. I have no Wi-Fi. I don't know how I'm supposed to function. Thank goodness I'm on a trip again tomorrow. I just got back to Los Angeles on Sunday. I'm leaving again tomorrow, which is Thursday, but the Wi-Fi is out. What? I'm sick of criminals. I'm sick of it. It getting in the way of my life. You're making my life worse by stealing copper wiring and selling it. So now I have to deal with that. It's going to take several trucks from the cable company to come up here and fix this. It's just such a nuisance. Why is everything a nuisance? Why do I have to deal with everybody interrupting my life and making my life worse? Am I making anybody's life worse? If I'm making your life worse, please let me know. Please, at whatswrong@ornyadams.com. That's my email. Just send me. Go, hey, you're making my life worse. I mean, I like to think I'm making the world maybe better. At minimum, I'm leaving it where I found it. I'm replacing the divot. You know, whatever divot I'm making, I'm putting it back, covering it up. Why does everybody else ruin my life? I'm ruining my life enough. Well, I was stressed for weeks about my driver's license picture. It arrived in the mail. I'm happy to say I look okay. Could have been much worse. Could have been 20% better. It's good enough. And the great news is you have to get a new one every 5 years. I thought it was 10 years. I think that's your passport. So I will do this again in another 5 years. We'll be discussing it. But for those following the drama of the Orny Adams driver's license picture, which I was fasting and starving myself for and getting into shape, I had a diet. It turns out it came out okay. Here's the diet I really should have because it's called the suit diet. Because I was at a wedding, I had to wear a suit. And I don't eat for days before the suit because I want to feel good in the suit. The suit is a very tight-fitting, well-tailored piece of clothing. And it fits snug, and I don't want to feel more snug. When I was a kid, I remember one time or two times I washed my jeans or my pants, and I put them in the dryer, and I took them out, and I couldn't button it. I every time I put on long pants, I think of that. I have such a fear that it's not going to be able to button. And here's something else the pant people are doing because my My dad found a pair of pants that were mine from high school. I thought they were all the fashion. I was going to wear them for you, but they didn't fit. They were waist 32. And by the way, I'm still a waist 32. The only difference is they've changed the waist. 32 used to be 32. Now I think a 34 is 32. I'm probably really a waist 34. They've changed the sizes so we don't feel so sick about ourselves and disgusted. But they were like these pants. I think I got them at Banana Republic. And you'd turn up the cuffs and there was paisley. And there was a little paisley in the pockets. And they were so, they looked so big. I thought, these are going to fit. They look like balloon pants. But the waist, little dainty little waist, I couldn't fit into them. So, and it's important that you understand why I talked about the croissant. That's going to come up later in the episode. But I went to a wedding on the East Coast. I did a show in Cleveland. I want to thank everyone that came out to see me at the Agora Theater in Cleveland. What a show. It was fun. It was great to see everybody. I do appreciate it. So much to talk about. Went out for dinner with my parents and my sister and brother-in-law. Bunch of people splitting tapas. Now, how do you feel about tapas? It's not, I mean, it's overpriced little snacks. And I saw the embodiment of tapas. I got up to go to the bathroom, right? But I don't like these restaurants to do this new trend where they go, oh, food's going to come out when we want it to come out. No, I want this first. I want the bruschetta first. I want the hummus platter thing, and I want the charcuterie, the cheeses. Then you can bring, guy, this hipster place, oh, we're going to bring out when it's ready, when the chef decides. So guess what comes first? I get up to wash my hands. In the time we ordered, I go to the bathroom, I come back, it's already here, the short ribs. I took a picture. It had been passed around. Everybody dug into the short ribs. Tapas. By the time it got to me, there was a string of beef left and a little bit of the potatoes. I thought that is tapas personified. That's it right there. If you're last to get the little stupid dish of food, there's nothing left. Tapas. Well, this is scary. I don't know if you read this, but an Alaska Airlines pilot who wasn't flying, he was in a jump seat, which is like a third seat that's in the cockpit. So the pilots, when they need to get to a destination, they can get into the jump seat, or they used to be able to. I don't know if they're going to be able to anymore because of this guy. This guy got in the jump seat. They were leaving from like Washington somewhere, the state of Washington, and flying. The guy lost his mind. He starts to play with the controls. Starts like trying to take down the plane. And they had to subdue him. So thank God the pilot stopped him, but he pulled down the controls that would have killed the engine, would have killed these people. There were like 100 people on the plane. This is my biggest fear, is a pilot losing their mind. And I'm not talking about a terrorist attack. I'm talking about like a domestic person, somebody who, I don't know what I'm saying. A pilot! We trust these people in the cockpit. My fear is that one of them decides they're having a bad day and they're going to make it a bad day for everybody else on the plane and their families. And they're going to take it down. This pilot, somehow, I can't wait for the details to come out, but the pilots in the cockpit subdued the jump seat pilot and they had him handcuffed in the back and they called air traffic control and they said, we're going to be landing and we want police there. Then they interviewed the guy, and the guy said, oh, yeah, you know, I hadn't slept for 40 hours, and I had taken shrooms, mushrooms. What's scary is, do you ever think, like, we just think these pilots, they're not human. They're inhuman. They show up. They don't have bad days. It's mechanical. They just fly. They weren't drinking the night before. They didn't get into a fight with their wife. They're not going to have an outburst. They're not taking mushrooms. That's what's wrong with the world. We have humans. Humans have too much control, perhaps, in the cockpit. Like, if that guy pulled the levers, is there some sort of safety mechanism that would stop the plane? So that's scary. It's another thing to be worried about in this lifetime. so much to worry about. Let me tell you about the pretzel. And then I'm going to talk about nature versus nurture. I'm doing a Teen Wolf convention this weekend. And I think there's a little bit of controversy. And maybe I will be attending. It's in Conyers, Georgia. But I think some of the cast is now not attending. Not for me to say what's going on, but something's going on. And I've invited the cast to come on the podcast and vent and talk about it if they want. But on a brighter note, I have right here a Wawa soft pretzel. I keep some in the freezer. Look at this. I love pretzels. There was a time I lived off of pretzels. Then when I lived in New York, I would go to, there was a Chinese restaurant down the street from me in New York, and I would get their hot and sour soup. It was $1.50. And I'd have two of those, and that would be a meal for $3. And I don't think you even tipped. You didn't tip in those days on takeout. $3 out the door, whole meal. Now, be $5. Even more, because soup has gone up in price. Boy, the other day on the plane, the whole plane smelled like soup. It was bizarre. It was bizarre. Planes are disgusting. Hotel rooms are disgusting. Think about that. Strangers sleeping in the bed the night before. It's just disgusting. People in the same space sleeping and grooming themselves. Ugh. Disgusting. So as I was traveling, I flew into Cleveland, did a show at the Agora. Now, this is a first. I get to the hotel, and I want to walk around. I've been on a plane most of the day. I want to walk around. And I'm less than a block out of the hotel, and a guy comes up to me, and he said, hey, I'm looking to sell this bag of McDonald's food. I go, what? Yeah, I got, shows me the receipt, $15 for, it's a couple of burgers and a drink and some I didn't even ask where he got it from. I know where he got it from. He walked in, probably took it off the counter. But now people are selling used or secondhand food. I said, how much? He said, $15. I said, there's no discount? For old food? How long have you been walking around with a bag for? But this is where we're at. All I see now is crime. You know, whether people are stealing cables and causing me not to have internet for a week or whatever. It's just crime. It's just crime. Cleveland never ceases to amaze me, but wonderful show at the Agora. Thank you to the Agora. Thank you to everybody that showed up. Thank you to the fans. Brought me gifts. Somebody brought me a fishing pole, and I'm a fisherman t-shirt. I thank everybody. I really do. But I want to tell you a story because I've been doing this 30 years. I've been doing stand-up comedy, a little bit of acting. And I just have flashbacks over and over again to like horrendous experiences on the road. That's why I'm just sick of traveling. I'm sick of hotels. But one time I was in Bemidji, Minnesota. I was doing a show in Bemidji, which is in the middle of Minnesota. I remember flying and seeing all the lakes. I said, this really is the land of 1,000 lakes. Is that what it is? Or what is it? And Bemidji, which is on Lake Bemidji, and there's a Bemidji airport I flew into, and it was wintertime. Remember, it was wintertime. And I stayed at a hotel. I was playing like a bar or something. I can't remember how I got this gig, who booked it, why I was there. But I do get to say now I've performed in Bemidji. And the airport, the hotel wasn't far from the airport. And it was one of those like local, it wasn't a chain hotel. And there was a heart-shaped bathtub in my suite, which is depressing. And I got up in the morning and I just wanted coffee. And I didn't realize how cold it gets in Minnesota. I didn't have the right jacket. And I heard, this is before the internet, this is before Uber. In fact, I don't even know if I travel with a computer, like a laptop. You had to ask people. I had to ask the front desk, is there a place I can get coffee? I wanted coffee and a jacket. And she said in a very Minnesotan accent, I couldn't understand, but she said, go to Big Bang Bander Bang. That's what I remember hearing. Go to the Big Bang Bander Bang. Maybe there's an extra syllable. Got the big game because I work out of coffee that I can walk to because hotels didn't, by the way, hotels didn't have coffees back then. There wasn't Keurig in the room, and maybe downstairs they didn't have coffee. You're on your own. No car to get you around. You could call a taxi. So I said, is it walkable to... I'm not making fun of people from Minnesota, but I'm making fun of people from Minnesota. I couldn't understand her. And so I was on a main street. I'm going to look at a map and try and figure out. In fact, I looked at a map, and I'm sure the place is still there. And it was sort of a main road highway. I can't tell you how many highways I've walked down in my career to get food. Or like in Iowa, I walked through a cornfield. I almost blew out my ankle tripping on a piece of frozen corn in the dead of winter to get somewhere to get coffee or food. You understand what we do to bring you comedy? We're stranded in shitty hotels in weird locations. Nobody cares about. There's nobody from the club making sure we're okay. Nobody cares. You're on your own. And I've walked down more sketchy streets and sketchy neighborhoods to get just sustenance. I remember you couldn't walk on either side of the street because of the snow. So I walked straight down the middle. There was a median strip. I walked down the median strip of a high. Do you think, listen how stupid this is. How easily a car could have careened, skidded, hit black ice, and took out your favorite comedian, Orny Adams. It could have happened like that. So I'm trying to figure out what was she saying. Gotta go to the Bing Banner. Anyway, I'm walking for, felt like a mile, maybe a mile and a half. And there it is, like an oasis. It just appeared. The big Kmart. She was saying the big Kmart, or the big super Kmart. And that's where I'm going to get coffee. And as I'm walking there and I see it and I'm freezing and I need a jacket, which I can't afford, but I end up buying anyway, I'm thinking, maybe I can hitchhike. Maybe I can meet somebody there that can give me a ride home. Again, this is before there was, you know, rideshare and cell phones. You were stuck. It was scary. It was cold. I feared for my life in Bemidji. And I got there and it was early. I'm an early riser. And it was basically closed. And there, in the food area of the big... I saw it. There wasn't bagels. No. No bagels, no breakfast food. There was a stale pretzel rotating around in the heater. It had been there for days, I could tell. But I didn't care. And they had old, stale coffee. I thought, this is great. This is going to be the greatest breakfast I ever had on the road. I'm starving. I need caffeine. And I got a pretzel. It's not a Wawa's pretzel, but it's good enough. And it's the last one. And I'm the only one there. I'm the only one there. And I'm going to eat. And I'm going to get energy. And I'm going to make the trek back. And I sit down. And I'm drinking my coffee. And I'm eating my pretzel. And I'm thinking how miserable my life is. And could it get any worse? And I look up. And there's a boy exposing himself to me, rubbing his genitals, and his thing is out. And I'm thinking, could it get any worse? And I see this, and I think, that's my ride home. And I remember thinking, there was a sadness to this kid, who was probably 14 or 15. And probably, you know, knew I was from out of town and could get away with it. Because this is a real small area and he couldn't do it to a local. He'd probably get his ass kicked. And I went into the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom. And the kid tried to follow me. I go, unless you're giving me a ride home. But it was scary. There was something scary about that kid. And I ended up buying a jacket and walking home. I've had some weird, scary experiences. But when I was eating the pretzels, I thought of that. I thought of all the crap I've gone through. When you come up to me and you go, hey, you're funny. You're a funny comedian. You comment on my videos on YouTube or Instagram, whatever it is, wherever. Whatever's the hot place this week. I've been through a lot. And I remember Bemidji is known for Paul Bunyan. Got a big statue of Paul Bunyan That's their claim to fame. I stayed in a place in New Hope, Pennsylvania, that the guy who shot Hamilton, William Burr, stayed there after he shot Hamilton. Of course, none of this is like really on the record. I think people just make stuff up. Make stuff up to just, you know, sell. Everybody's selling. Oh, I'll tell this story at the end about me being recognized there. Oh, Wawa Pretzel. But let me talk about this. Let me talk about this. Oh, I had a physical this morning. I had to do that. You have to fast for your blood work. Got the flu shot. For some reason, nobody gives you shit when you want a flu shot. Nobody looks down on you. There's no speech. Somehow the flu shot has gotten, it's a free ride. You don't get a lecture from people telling you that it causes autism or something. I don't know why the flu shot's so accepted, but the COVID shot, whoa! Now we're going to have a political discussion with somebody I don't know. Flu shot gets a pass. Flu shot gets a pass. So I got the flu shot in this arm. I can feel it a little bit. Gave blood over here. Did fasting blood work. Felt good. I have a really good doctor. So that always feels good to get your physical. Tomorrow I travel to Georgia for that convention. Back Monday. The following week I'm in Las Vegas. I'll be back at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. First week in November. So check that out. When I was home, my dad gave me this article to read from the New York Times. Look at that. There's a little plane going over. Gave me this article. Here's the headline. What if believing in free will is just a choice? Now, this article upset me. Not as much as that person honking, but it upset me. What if believing in free will... You know what free will is, right? Free will means that you can make your own decisions. You can decide whether to buy a house or not. No, that's a bad example. To wear this shirt today or not. You can decide whether you want to punch somebody. You can decide. That guy honking the horn could have decided to honk the horn or not honk the horn. That was up to him. Humans have free will. I've believed in this my whole life. Of course we have free will. We have autonomy. But this guy... No, this guy, Robert Sapolsky, Dr. Sapolsky, Stanford doctor, he says, maybe we don't have free will. Sapolsky, in his latest book, confronts and refutes the biological and philosophical arguments for free will. He contends that we are not free agents, but that biology, hormones, childhood, and life circumstances coalesce to produce actions that we merely feel were ours to choose. So we didn't choose it. Our biology and our past experiences coming together made that decision, and we had nothing to do with it. I have a problem with this. It's a provocative claim, he concedes, but he would be content if readers simply began to question the belief which is embedded in our cultural conversation. Getting rid of free will completely strikes at our sense of identity and autonomy, where we get meaning from. Dr. Sapolsky said, this makes the idea particularly hard to shake. Well, and I'll tell you why. Because it's ridiculous. I'd love to have you on my podcast, Dr. Sapolsky. I am a fan of yours. I was reading one of your books. I've been reading it for years. That's how long it takes me to read books. But this one's called The Primate's Memoir. In fact, I plan to discuss it, one particular story in here. Oh, I made it to 250-something. Why don't I just finish this book? I've been planning to, you know, at the right time, talk about this observation he had in this book, which I think is pretty, pretty interesting. But I can't get behind you on this one. I believe in free will as much as Rush, the band, who sang about it. Okay? It's dangerous not to give humans the power over their... Now, Dr. Sapolsky's been studying apes and chimps his whole career. So yeah, maybe they don't have free will. I've seen videos of chimps sticking their fingers on a light socket over and over again. It's a provocative claim, he concedes, but he just wants us to question it. Okay, you got me discussing it. Now, the paragraph I read before makes me believe that he's talking about nature versus nurture. I think he's repackaged nature versus nurture and made it sexy. And he's saying, oh, free will doesn't exist. And he's trying to sell books. That's how skeptical I am. I'm on to you, Sapolsky. Getting rid of free will completely strike at our sense of identity and autonomy. There are major implications, he notes. Absent free will, no one should be held responsible for the behavior, good or bad. Listen to that. No one should be held responsible for their behavior, good or bad. So, somebody commits a mass shooting. He's saying they had no choice. That wasn't free will. That was their biology intersecting with their life experiences and their hormone level. It's bullshit. I chose to wear this shirt today. He disagrees. Says in a paragraph right here, I'll get back to that other paragraph. The interviewer says, so whether I wore a red or blue shirt today, are you saying I didn't really choose that? Absolutely, Sapolsky says. It can play out in seconds. Before, studies show that if you're sitting in a room with terrible smell, people become more socially conservative. I'm not too sure what that is, but he says that we don't choose our shirts. Of course we choose our shirts, okay? I opened the podcast talking about how I am no longer going to put jam, marmalade, or fructose corn syrup. I'm not even putting peanut butter on my croissant. That's free will. I have decided that on my own. Now, I can look at it and say I don't want to put jam on it, but to prove I have free will, I'm going to put jam on it and eat it. This buffoon, I'm angry because I think this is dangerous. I'm going to read that again. Absent free will, which is what he believes, we do not have free will. Absent free will, no one should be held responsible for their behavior, good or bad. This is the week that in another country, women were raped and murdered, children beheaded and burned. And he's saying we can't hold those actors responsible. So what I just said, you can't hold me responsible? If I say something that upsets you, you can't hold me responsible. That's my hormones and biology. I have no free will. It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. So Sapolsky says this is liberating for most people. Yeah, bad behavior. Bad behaviors it's liberating for. For whom life has been being blamed and punished and deprived and ignored for things they have no control over. Now, I understand there's a lot of things we don't have control over. For instance, where we're born in the world. I'm very fortunate I was born in America. I have no control over that. I understand that. I understand that leads to the decisions I make or choose to make. And I understand my biology lends to making the decisions. But whether I decide to pull a trigger or not pull a trigger, that's my choice. Is this guy now going to be testifying in all these cases with criminals saying, oh, hey, he didn't choose to do it. Got to excuse it. He's just a victim of his own biology and life circumstances and his hormone level. The interviewer says, if we're not responsible for our actions, can we take ownership of them? Well, I do. Damn right I do. I take full responsibility for my successes and my failures. I'm proud of my successes. I'm ashamed of my failures. Some failures I've learned from. That's the other thing. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, if something goes wrong, pick yourself up. It's the fighter that gets off the mat after being knocked out and how they get up and continue to fight. Are you saying that they have no free will? Sapolsky says, well, we can take ownership in a purely mechanical sense. My molecules knocked into the molecules making up the vase of flowers and knocked it over and broke it. That's true. And we can keep ourselves going with myths of agencies of agency when it really doesn't make a difference. If you want to believe that you freely choose to floss your upper teeth before your bottom teeth today, that's a benign myth to operate with. I mean, it's malarkey. I mean, I do my upper. You know what? Tonight, I'm going to do my lower just to show you, Sapolsky. Or is that not free will? It's such buffoonery. It bothers me. In fact, I want to get Jim Clemente on here to talk about that. I want to talk to him. I want to see what he has to say. Nature versus nurture. Because I'm not putting anything on a croissant anymore. That's my free will. That's what makes me different than an ape. I have free will. And I think it's dangerous. What do you think? Email me. What's wrong at ornyadams.com and let me know. Let me know what you think. This is episode 94. I want to thank everybody, the listeners. I want to thank the Patreon subscribers. A new one popped up this morning. It's growing. And let me explain something to the people watching this on YouTube that say, what is it right now? It's October. It's almost Halloween. It's why I'm wearing orange. Because I'm in the spirit. You know, when I bought a house, one of my biggest fantasies was handing out candy on Halloween. And I've been here for several years and nobody's ever shown up. Nobody trick-or-treats. It's weird. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. Now, was that my choice? Was that free will? So, after Cleveland, where I almost bought secondhand hamburgers, I had to resist. Really tough. I was hungry. Now, had he offered a little bit more of a discount, I may have bought the used hamburgers. I did the show and I flew to Boston. I'm very lucky I got to spend a week with my parents, hanging out and doing stuff, having some nice meals, getting to know them better, and debating nature versus nurture with my dad. Then we went off to a family wedding and there were speeches. I'd like to just put this out there for people having weddings. No more speeches. Maybe have a separate room for people that want to hear speeches. And everyone else, we can stay with the open bar. I was in New Hope, Pennsylvania, and I went out to take a breather during some of the speeches. I hope my cousins aren't listening. And a train was going by, this really cool old train. And so I got recognized. I feel good about this. I put the video up on social media. You can see it. I'm just filming the train because I thought it was cool. And I see somebody waving. Look at this, being recognized. I zoom in. The guy gives me the finger. Wonderful. But what was driving me nuts about the wedding was the PA, the sound was so bad. They didn't tap into, it was a really cool venue. They didn't tap into the venue's PA system. The DJ or whoever ran it had speakers on the side. And I've never seen this before. I've seen this in the movies and I just thought it was a cliche. When everyone went up to speech, I go, hello, I go, you get the feedback. I thought that only happened in the movies. In fact, part of me thinks that the wedding was piping in the feedback, so it seemed more like a movie. But I was in this small town, and I'll tell you this story, and I'll wrap it up and get out of here. Next week, I have a guest. I think. I don't know. But I was in a town and I noticed I'm getting sort of looked at a lot. And in fact, some people came up to me and asked for pictures and they knew me from this or that, coach, whatever. I'm not bragging. But on the final night, we're at this really nice restaurant. And there's a little murmur at the table behind us. We were in this upstairs area. It was called the restaurant. I don't want to say what it was called, actually, to protect the person that was there. There were only six tables upstairs. One of the oldest buildings in the area. And, oh, by the way, we stayed at a bed and breakfast. Should we discuss that for a second? We have to get up in the morning and eat breakfast with strangers? Who's this for? Who wants to, you know? It was like a big table, communal breakfast. I'm glad I had family there. Otherwise, loser Orny would have been eating alone. I'm so sick of eating alone. I've told you sometimes when I go out to eat on the road, I'll go into a nice restaurant. I just want to sit down, like in Cleveland, and they always try and sell me the bar. You want to sit at the bar? Why don't you sit at the bar? You're alone. Sit at the bar. There's other losers at the bar. And you can sit at the bar alone, looking at bottles of liquor, maybe a TV if you're lucky. And then you watch the bartenders making drinks for the people behind you that have friends. You get to watch him or her all night making drinks for people that have friends and people to eat with. That's what eating at the bar feels like to me. So, oh, that stupid leaf blower on a Wednesday. So, I might have to go to a neighbor's house to upload this audio to send it out to Ernesto. By the way, thank you, Ernesto, for, you know, finalizing this and getting it up. And the video I'll do on the road this weekend. Get it up on my Patreon. So for the people that say, oh, Ornie, you're wearing orange and you're talking about your dates in December, the first week at in Vegas, by the way, and then I'm in Irvine Improv in December, back at the Ice House in December. They'll go, well, what? It's March. Why are we just seeing this now? Well, because the videos go up on Patreon first, then later they appear on YouTube. But the audio, you can listen to this. This will be up tomorrow. Okay? So if you want to support me a little extra, you pay $5 a month, patreon.com/Ornie. Now, continue to email me. Somebody sent me a really nice email. I don't know how to address it yet, but it was talking about what's going on in the world and how I really feel about it. And she felt, she's older than me, that I would have the insight to answer it. I'm not too sure I do. I'm not too sure my opinion matters, and there might be smarter people to answer it. Or maybe that's why she's a fan of the podcast. I don't know. I don't know. But we're out to eat, and there's a little bit, you know, this nice restaurant, and there's a little bit of excitement behind me. And my sister overhears that we just missed sitting at the table behind us, Bradley Cooper. And everybody's all excited. Now, I could care less. I don't care about celebrity. Now, if it's somebody I respect, but for me to be in a restaurant with Bradley Cooper means nothing to me. And it's nothing against Bradley Cooper. I like his work. I think he's a great actor. But the fact that people are like, Bradley Cooper is here, that drives me nuts. And then they're talking about what he was eating. Who cares? And that how big he was or small he was and who he was with. And I thought, I can't stand that. Let Bradley Cooper. Yeah, Bradley Cooper's famous. He's a public person. He's in films. That doesn't mean he signs up for this scrutiny, this discussion everywhere he goes. Can you imagine that? Drive me nuts. That's why I like these small towns. You ever hear about these small towns where a celebrity lives and then the town protects the celebrity? They'll pretend like the person doesn't live there. Like I'm going to Sarasota in February again. By the way, tickets on sale and they're selling. I'll be back in McCurdy's. And I found out Mick Jagger has a house there. I've never heard that. I'm a huge Mick Jagger fan. Because why? Sarasota protects Mick Jagger. Those are the communities I like. That's what I like. I don't care what Mick Jagger's eating. In fact, if I was out to eat and Mick Jagger was next to me, I wouldn't say anything. And then if I had a conversation with him, I wouldn't talk about his music. I would treat him like a human. That's what they want. They want to be treated like a human. And so it bothers me. Because I also noticed a table that was disseminating the gossip on Bradley Cooper being there. I noticed them looking at me earlier and then looking at their phone. A lot of people do this. They notice me. Maybe they know who I am. Then they look at the phone. They Google pictures. They look up and stuff like that. But what was going on in this situation, which I find upsetting, and I said it before, and it's what's wrong with the world. I was being looked at a lot in New Hope, a lot, more than normal. And after I found out that Bradley Cooper was there, I think People were looking at me thinking for half a second I was Bradley Cooper. Right? You got me in a hat, sunglasses. You know I got the swagger. You know you see Orny Adams out in the street. You go, that, I don't know who that guy is, but he's got that je ne sais quoi. He's got something going on. Well, I think it's why the person on the train gave me the finger. They thought, oh, hey, look, it's Bradley Cooper. Then as it got closer, they go, oh, no. Oh, no. What is that person with the je ne sais quoi? That guy shouldn't have je ne sais quoi. He hasn't earned it like our great Bradley Cooper. Like, is New Hope such a loser place that they're all excited about Bradley Cooper? I was there. Orny Adams was in New Hope. That should be the story. I want a shirt. Give me a shirt that says, I'm not Bradley Cooper. Somebody. Now I'm going to go eat these pretzels, and I'm going to get a fat face, because I don't care, because I've had my driver's license picture already. Fired up. I had to handwrite all my notes this week, because my computer's out, or the Wi-Fi's out, and I can't print the notes, so I had to handwrite it like the old days. Everything's wrong. Everybody, please stop stealing copper wires. Oh my God, the headphones scrunched my hair. There was a moment that I looked horrible on camera. Come see me. I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada in the first week of November, Irvine Improv. I will be back at the Chicago Improv. I will be in Michigan at a theater. All this up is at ornyadams.com/tour. Where else am I going to be? Well, Sarasota. Me and Mick Jagger will be there. So listen, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. I hope you have enjoyed the show. I hope you come see one of my stand-up shows. I'm trying to think of something funny to end on. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, what do I call back? Oh, well, I open with the croissant. Yeah, I'm going to go eat a croissant. This, I got it. This is how I'm going to end it. Episode 94. This. See this? What I'm holding up, this pretzel? This is a Philadelphia croissant. All right, everybody. See you in episode 95. Or you'll see me. Yeah. But seriously, somebody take a picture of me next to Bradley Cooper. Tell me if you can tell the difference. Certainly not right away.